Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Jax.
And hi, I'm Take Three. I mean Tech.
And today we're going to be talking about why we love
taking three takes to do the intro to a podcast we've done over 200 times.
No,
we're talking about fountain pens.
I'm not editing that one out. Go ahead. What are we talking about?
Fountain pens.
And really why we like pens in general, because, you know, we may veer off the path here. But, you know, the Why We Love series is really where we get to Snowy Egret and just nerd out about one specific topic.
Are we ever going to explain the Snowy Egret thing, or are we just going to power through and
I think we've explained it in the past, and if people haven't listened to Henry Rollins, then that's fine. They'll understand. Snowy Egret means just talking in great detail because you know about that topic even though nobody else cares. So why we love fountain pens?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in this world that we are passionate about. There's a lot of things that many people are passionate about. And sometimes it just gets a little bit unique and a little bit weird. And you might run into somebody that they really like knives, and they very specifically pocket knives, and they might have 20 different pocket knives, or they really like watches and they have really nice watches. We'll talk about that in another podcast.
Or flashlights.
Or flashlights. Yeah, you're getting into that one. But fountain pens is something that I used to write with. I really enjoyed using them, but they were kind of hard to come by. But now you can get fountain pens almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. Bookstores, internet, you name it. And Tech and I have gone down the rabbit hole of the fountain pen world and really enjoyed what we found. And so we wanted to share that love with all of you.
It was a fun little trip.
Yeah. So tell everyone, why do you like fountain pens, and maybe how did you get into it?
Well, I work in a secure environment, so we don't have like open internet access. We connect to the internet through an intranet, and it's not wireless everywhere that we go. So whenever we take meetings, there's always a need to write notes. And by write, I mean hand-drawically write notes into a notebook and then, you know, give, you know, your meeting to your staff later from your hand notes. So we spend a lot of our days writing. And it was a realization I had a couple of years ago that if I'm going to spend all day writing anyways, I may as well find a way to make it fun. I may as well find a way to enjoy the activity that I'm going to spend my day doing. Now, there are some of my coworkers now, as technology has improved, that, you know, they bring laptops to meetings and they type all of their notes. And, well, we still don't have wireless internet in everywhere that we have meetings. So a lot of them are like tethering their laptops to their cell phones and getting internet that way. And I mean, that's like a solution, and sure, it works, but I still take notes. I know I'm a dinosaur. I still take notes in a notebook, usually written with a fountain pen or a nice gel pen, throughout the day, because I don't know, there's something about a fountain pen that makes writing fun. There's a way that you get, instead of, you know, a ballpoint rolling across the page, you're scratching with a stylus, and there's something about the sound and the feel of it that is kind of cool. And it's I guess part of the charm is that they don't always work. And I've had a lot of coworkers that are very, very frustrated when they try pens, like, oh, I picked it up out of the drawer and it didn't work right away, so I threw it away. Or one person said, yeah, the pen didn't work, it was broken. I picked it up and one of my fingers is blue. Look, it leaked all over the place, so I threw it out. It's like, did you touch the silver part at the end? Well, then, yeah. Because you touched the nib, of course it's going to leak. And then they don't always work, and they don't always work the first time. So there's a bit of that little engineering that you have to do to try to figure out, oh, my pen's cold starting.
But at the same time, like, how many times did we have ballpoint pens that it wasn't writing? So you had to scratch it really, really fast on your jeans to warm it up so that you could make the ink move.
Or suck on the ballpoint to try to get the ink going.
And then you got that on your teeth.
That blue spot on your tooth or something. I remember in school having to run some of my pens under the water fountain to try to get them to start. It's no different with my fountain pens. The other thing I really enjoy is that you get a lot more control. because I can pick whether I want fine, medium, broad, or italic, how I want to write that day. I can pick the color of ink. I can pick the color of pen. And it's a hobby. It's fun. Some people like to paint their nails. Some people like to wear jewelry. I like to have a little pocket full of pens in my shirt when I go to work. That's it.
We'll get to this later, but you like to pick your color of ink. You mean blue? Your color of blue of ink.
Okay, I have about a dozen different blues, so shut your noise, you.
And that's okay. We'll get into that. For me, what I like about fountain pens is when I was growing up, I would write a lot of notes, and I would sometimes just write stories in the middle of class instead of paying attention. And I developed, and I still have it, a very big bump on my finger, on my middle finger, from where the pen would rest. And you have to use so much pressure when you're using a ballpoint or a pencil or whatever. And I started getting hand cramping in high school. My hand would cramp. And when I started actually legit typing, suddenly I was like, I have no need of writing anymore. But typing notes didn't work as well. I didn't remember what I wrote. Whereas if I write a note, I am more likely to remember it because that physical activity of writing over typing cements the idea in my mind better.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely. I found in college that just rewriting my notes helped. Then turning them into flashcards, just the process of doing that. By the time I was getting ready for a test, like, I didn't need to study as much because I had done that physical activity. So for me, writing notes, I may have a computer in front of me. I'm still writing notes so that I understand it. And I'm always working with people and they're like, oh, I got to figure out where did I put my notes? And I'm like, everything's in a binder. And it's not because I'm old school. It's because it's how it cements in my mind. Harvard University actually did a whole study about this, about the kinesthetic feedback of writing versus typing. I'm not going to bore you with that. But it was really cool to have backup for what I knew to be true for myself. With a fountain pen, you don't need any pressure. And that is something that if you only use ballpoint pens and you start using a fountain pen, people will put so much pressure on the nib. They might actually break it and not understand how it works. So for the uninitiated, if you are interested, the way a fountain pen works generally is gravity. There's a tube of ink and the nib. You turn it upside down and it will slowly go into this feed. And the feed is like a bunch of little plastic fins or ebonite or whatever they're made of. And it goes on to the nib and follows that line down to the tip. A ballpoint is just a ball bearing that is moving, and it picks up ink every time it moves. So the fountain pen is going to give you consistent ink. The ballpoint, you actually have to give it a bit of pressure to get the ink to come out. So because you're just using gravity, my hand doesn't cramp when I'm writing. And it's so much easier for me. And then my handwriting looks better. It looks prettier. I can give it whatever color I want, which I have many different colors. And I enjoy writing, and my penmanship has finally started to look semi-decent. I mean, if I showed my penmanship now to me in high school, I would not believe that it was my penmanship. Is it the prettiest in the world? No. My mother and sisters have that, but it's great for me.
Hobbies are not intrinsically practical. They're hobbies because you enjoy them and they're fun. And the one thing that I despise, and I can already hear some people in my head going, oh, you write with a fountain pen that cost you how much? Huh. I write with a 10-cent Bic and it works just as good. Okay, do you want a medal for that? Like, do you want to win a prize?
It's but
like
my pencil always writes.
Yeah, like people look at my watch and they go, oh, you have a fancy watch. I have a Timex that I bought at the grocery store and it tells time. I don't wear a watch anymore because my phone keeps better time. It's like, well, okay.
But it's jewelry.
But here's your medal. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You win the Smart Boy Award. I don't need a flashlight. My phone has a flashlight. Cool. Well, that's great for you. But
for every naysayer about me liking my fountain pens, I will all turn and say, all right, in your office, there is one pen that writes good. And if somebody takes it, you get mad, right? And every office everywhere knows that somebody, you find that pen and it just writes nice. There were those, back in the day, they were uni pens, and it was a pen and it had like, it looked like a needle coming out and you would write with it. It was a fountain pen, but everybody thought it was like this brand new thing. It was a fountain pen without a real nib. It was just a piece of metal that came out, mm-hmm. and you could see the actual fins, but it was a disposable thing. And I loved it. But everybody knows there's like that one pen. I like the Bic with the soft grip. I like this gel pen. Everybody has their favorite pen. And we just happen to have favorite pens that are also pretty.
Yeah, and it's a fun hobby. They're fun to collect. They're fun to keep. Like, I had my boss once describe fountain pens as jewelry for your desk.
Yep.
And I don't mind that. I think that's totally fair. It's fun to have a little pen holder on your desk at the office, and people come in and it's a conversation starter or something. Then you ink up a pen. I had a friend of mine who would come into my office to try my new pens, and he would take my notepad and he would always like scribble.
Mm-hmm.
He would always scribble in the back of my books. And I noticed one day that he was just writing the word Voldemort again and again and again. And it's like, and he was a chaplain. He was a minister. It's like, Father, could you please not write the name of he who shall not be named all over my books?
I mean.
And I say this as not a Harry Potter fan. You know, but it was still very funny.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He's the guy that has my favorite fountain pen horror story as to why he chose to stop writing with fountain pens.
Mm.
He wrote all of his notes in college in fountain pen ink, mm-hmm. and he was in a math class.
Oh.
And he fell asleep.
Yeah.
And as he fell asleep on his desk, his finger was on the nib of the pen, so the ink kept running.
Mm-hmm.
And he woke up. All of the ink had run out of the pen. His head was in a puddle of black ink. His book was ruined. The desktop was ruined.
Oof.
And he was just all black on one half of his face.
Yeah.
From ink.
No, that would be... I can understand it. And I know a lot of people like, older people will sometimes say, once we got rid of fountain pens, like, I've never gone back. And why would you go back? And I can understand that, you know, when I hear people are like, oh my gosh, cassette tapes are like so good. And I'm like, what? What is wrong with you? And I know that like, there's this whole thing, genre of people who like, they record their albums onto, cassette tapes and things like that. I mean, I understand vinyl, but cassette tapes, that's fine. I'm not judging.
It's an anachronism. Yeah.
I know lefties that are like, yeah, it's a struggle for me. And yeah,
it is hard for lefties because the ink dries slower. So as you're pushing the pen, mm-hmm. Across the page, your hand tends to run on the wet ink, and it tends to run, and it's kind of, you have to hold the pen at a funny angle. You have to turn the paper sideways. Mm-hmm. My other solution for that, if anyone wants, is just learn to write in Arabic, because Arabic writes from right to left, and then lefties can do it just fine. And us righties are, you know, we're the ones that have trouble now because, you know, it's going the wrong way.
Exactly.
But yeah, just take your notes in Arabic and everything will be fine. So another quick thing I'm going to bust is that, okay, there are some fountain pens out there that are worth a ridiculous amount of money. Like, there are some fountain pens out there that are worth more than most cars.
Yeah.
And these are beautiful, handmade, you know, pieces of art. They're art for your desk. That's not always what we're talking about here. I mean, I can go to my local art store and buy one of the best fountain pens on the planet for $2. I can buy a box of them on Amazon and have them delivered to my house. Yeah. So they run the gamut from, you know, just a couple of dollars for a disposable pen all the way to many, many tens of thousands for a one of a kind, unique work of art, you know, made mm-hmm. by craftsmen.
Yeah.
And everything in between. So they don't have to cost a lot of money. And I recommend to everybody, if you haven't written with a fountain pen, the next time you find yourself at an art store, there's going to be fountain pens there somewhere.
Mm.
Grab one, take the, and normally in like that little section of pens where they get the little pieces of paper and you get to try one.
Yeah.
Pop the cap off and try a little $2 pen and see if it's not fun. See if it doesn't write any better than your 10 cent Bic, and see if you don't like it. I think you might. I do.
So let's talk with the cheapest pens, fountain pens out there to start with.
Well, there's two right away that we got to talk about. One, we got to talk about a company called Pilot and their pen called the Varsity.
Yep. Which is a disposable fountain pen.
It's a disposable fountain pen. You can't I guess you kind of could reach a syringe in there to refill
people,
them.
People have hacked them. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a closed body pen. You can't refill the ink. It's just kind of, it's like a Bic, but it has a fountain pen nib instead of a ball bearing. They're super cool. They cost $2 each.
Something like that.
They're inexpensive. They are very, very good. They write unbelievable. For $2, they write, like, I have $30 and $40 pens that don't write nearly as good as Varsity does.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Conklin.
Okay, that's the feed, but yeah, yeah. I also, the Itoya Blade, which is similar price point. I like the nib better. And again, I've got, like, I would probably take an Itoya Blade over, for its writability, over the Faber-Castell ones, because they just write like Sharpies. And then the next step up is the cheapest refillable that we can think of.
The Platinum Preppy.
Yeah.
Made by another Japanese company called Platinum. It's called the Preppy. You get them in a bunch of different colors. They come with different color ink.
You can usually find them in like every stationery store.
Every stationery store will have them at the counter.
You can just put a cartridge in there.
They're under $10, like $5-$7.
Usually about $5 American, yeah. A little more Canadian, yeah.
Under $10 per pen, but these ones have a vial of ink inside them, and you can unscrew the body, and when the vial is empty, you can remove it and replace it with another vial.
Yeah.
The vials are cheap. You buy them in a 5-pack for a couple of bucks, and you can swap out colors, and you can do whatever you want.
If you get a cartridge converter, you can fill it up with whatever fountain pen ink you want. If you want to be super creative, you just put an O-ring and some silicone grease around the body of the pen, and you turn it into what we call an eyedropper pen, where you've got a bucket of ink, and it just fills right up there.
Yep. The Preppy, is for under $10, is what a gateway drug to get people into.
Oh, yeah. And they're great for drawing.
Oh. They're great for everything.
Yeah.
I took, I don't know how many pages upon pages of notes I took with a Preppy.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people, we're going to get into our next category there. Actually, before I go in, a little bit more than the Preppy, you might run into some what they call school fountain pens. Because a lot of places in the world, they're still using fountain pens. That when you go to school in Europe, a lot of places, or at least our peers that grew up in Europe, you know, when they were going to school, they were using fountain pens. And if you ran out of ink, your teacher would just have a box of cartridges, you know, the little vials of ink that you would just plug in. So there's this category of what they call school pens. So the Pilot Kakuno is like that. It looks a lot like the Preppy with a more kid-friendly body size.
That's one that's got a little smiley face.
Yes, and the nib has a smiley face, little emoji faces, depending on the nib size. And then the Lamy has an ABC. Many people use the Lamy Safari in school, things like that. Those have a triangular grip. There's the Pelican Twist, which is really cool. I like that one. And then you start getting into the $20, $30 range of pens. And that is that Lamy Safari, Pilot Metropolitan.
Yeah, Lamy's are, they're pens made in Germany.
Yeah.
They are, every year they come out with four or five new colors.
Yep.
They're a plastic bodied pen. They write very, very well. And what's really cool is if you want a cool looking pen, but you're not quite sure you want to take the dive into fountain pens, a lot of these pens that we're going to talk about as we get up into the higher dollar ranges, the companies normally offer them in like a ballpoint version.
Yes.
As well. So I know
you can get really pretty versions in ballpoint. Yeah.
So you can get a really pretty, and we did that for one of our bosses. The superintendent of the school that I was working at, when he was leaving, all of the other teachers came together and asked us if we wanted to get together and give him a going away present. And they said, well, you guys, me and my boss, because we collected fountain pens, they're like, well, you guys know a lot about pens. We'd like to get him a pen. Can you guys pick one?
Yeah.
And this is about I think we raised, I think we raised about $700. And they wanted to get him a very nice pen. And it came back to, yeah, we got to get him a very nice pen, but don't get him a fountain pen because he's not going to write with it because he doesn't like fountain pens. And we want something that he can put on his desk that he's actually going to use every day and not have to fiddle around with it. So we bought him a $700 Montblanc ballpoint pen. It was gorgeous. It's a, you know, piece of art, all hand lacquered.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. $700 ballpoint pen.
Well, you know,
that's fine. It was a great going away gift, and it was kind of cool.
Well, was it a ballpoint or a rollerball?
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. Not a fountain pen.
Okay, good. If you're a rollerball, I mean, or a gel or a whatever, those are just as cool. You and I happen to really like fountain pens, so that's why we're talking about fountain pens.
Speaking of, I guess I'll mention it at this point, Sharpie makes a brand of gel pen called, the S Gel?
I think so.
That is probably the best writing pen I have ever used. It's way too good for what it is. And I picked it up thinking I was going to hate it because it wasn't a fountain pen. It wasn't good. I hit the clicker. I start writing with it and the words just flow out of my hand.
I bought it because I was like, it's a Sharpie.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Sharpie, so I got to try it. And it came out pretty good.
It's so good. And they're cheap.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, you know, this is a hobby like any other. Like, you don't have to spend a lot of money to get something good and fun. But if you want to spend the money to get something really cool, you can. And that's everybody's choice. Nobody holds a gun to your head and tells you how to spend your time and money. Mm-hmm. So you get to find the things that you find cool and interesting. And this is, this was kind of fun because my boss and I, when I was really getting into the hobby, he makes more money than me and his wife makes a lot more money than him. And they were in a very comfortable place in their life and they had no debt and he was able to spend a lot more money than I ever will on pens. So he was buying really nice pens.
Yeah.
You know, like the two pens in his collection that are made from lava from Mount Etna in Italy.
Yeah, he liked it so much he had to get two of them.
Well, not they came on sale, so he bought the brother to his pen. But yeah, they're made of lava and acrylic.
Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah.
Am I ever going to buy one? No. Am I going to spend that much money on a pen? Probably not. Did I enjoy writing with it? Oh, heck yeah. Let me borrow it for a week. It was great.
Wait, how much was it again?
The Visconti Homo Sapiens?
Yeah.
With the lava was $600 or $700, I think.
Okay. Never say never.
I think because he got two different sizes, right? I think the big one was like about $900.
Yeah. And right. He got the mini and then he said it was too small for his hand.
No, it was the opposite. He got the big and he liked it. And then the mini came on sale and he bought that one too. No, the one that he didn't like was the Sailor 1911 that he bought. He wanted to buy the large size and he didn't. He had big hands.
Yeah.
And he bought the regular one and he hated it. And
gotcha.
He's like, I should have waited and bought the large.
Yeah, I get it. You can go all the way up and I have a personal belief. And my personal belief is if a pen company cannot make a good cheap pen, good inexpensive pen, then I do not want to trust them with an expensive pen.
Okay.
And this is because if you can't do the engineering and the right product for your inexpensive line, all the money in the world for your expensive line, I just don't trust it, you know? It tells me that you're manufacturing out of the cheaper market and also that you don't have pride. I don't know. It's just a thing that I do. So Pilot makes very good cheap pens. Mm-hmm. They're low end of the line, the Metropolitans. They are just a beautiful little aluminum body. Their cheap pens has a really great tiny little nib. It's the same nib that's in your Pilot Prera, which you absolutely love. That is a demonstrator. And what that means is that the pen has a clear body so you can see the ink. Many of the fountain pens will come in other materials. They will come in acrylic. They will come in resin. They will come in wood.
Metal.
Yeah. All sorts of different body types. And some of them you won't be able to see through. And some of them you can. It might have a little window or it might be completely clear. Tech really likes the demonstrators. He loves being able to see his ink.
Yep. I like the clear pens. I think they look really cool. And then the color of the ink that you have changes the color of the pen. Because
the
you know.
Two pens that I have that are pricey and have gold nibs, I started with their cheaper lines. Mm-hmm. And they have really good. So Platinum, Preppy. Love the Preppy. Got the Platinum 3776, which I think is probably one of the most beautiful pens. And they have so many different nibs that you're going to find one that you like.
So the beauty of that one is that the... Okay, so finish your point and then I'll snowy eager it about nibs.
Okay. But. And then the I've got the Vanishing Point. And that's a Pilot. It's a clicky, so it's a retractable nib. And I really liked Pilot's lower end, so I went with the Vanishing Point. You have one as well. Mm-hmm. And I have probably the most blasphemous pen because I have a Lamy Safari. It's on my All-Star right now, but I have put it on the Safari as well. I bought the gold nib that goes on their very expensive $300 pen. Mm-hmm. But I just bought the nib
and I put it on the $30 pen.
I put it on the $30 pen that I love so much. They're very expensive pens, I think are ugly. Yeah. They don't look good.
No.
I don't like how they feel in my hand. And I love the triangular grip
of the cheap pen.
Of the cheaper pen.
So you put the expensive nib on it.
So I bought a gold nib for like $150.
It's like buying a Honda Civic and putting the race car engine in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's exactly what I did. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, I love their gold nib. Their gold nib feels really nice to write. I got to try it out in the Lamy store and I felt the difference. That's one of the things that convinces me to buy expensive things is trying somebody, you know, actually trying it out. Because I've done things where I'm looking at a pen. I really like it. I'm like, oh, that Sailor looks so nice. And then I pick it up in my hand and I start to write and I go, I don't like this. You know, I want to make sure that I like it. But anyway, snowy egret about nibs.
No, I just want our listeners to understand a little something about nib. Most nibs come in two metals, steel or gold. Mm-hmm. Steel is cheaper. Gold is expensive. Mm-hmm. Gold is cool because gold is flexible. So yes. It allows you to make like that calligraphy stuff where the lines go from broad to thin and then back to broad again as you change the pressure. As you write, writing with a gold nib is a really, really cool experience. It feels amazing and it's fun. But that does not mean that you need to spend gold nib money to get a good writing pen, because you can get awesome writing steel nib pens.
Yeah.
It also doesn't mean that every pen with a steel nib is cheap, because you can get some ridiculously expensive pens that have steel nibs. And that's where if I'm going to be spending gold nib money, I'm getting a gold nib. Like Visconti and a couple other companies, they make the Rembrandt and all that. So like $400 and $500 pens with steel nibs. They're gorgeous. They're works of art.
Yeah.
They are beautiful pens, but I'm not gonna spend that amount of money without getting a steel nib.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, without getting a gold nib to replace the steel.
And they're so beautiful. They are so beautiful, but I agree.
You know, and there are when you get into so we went from the cheap disposable range to the mid dollar, you know, the $20-$30, you're buying yourself a usable pen that you can use for the rest of your life. That's, you know, it's a tool pen, up into the, you know, you spend $100 or so, you can get yourself something really, really pretty, something really fun and really cool that you can have on your desk and you can enjoy looking at and enjoy writing with all day. When you start getting higher than that, and you can go as high as you want, I've seen collections of $30,000 pens.
Yeah.
Now it's a work of art, and now no one can tell you what you like is wrong, because now it's about taste and it's about the craftsmanship that goes into it. I always wanted to hate Montblanc, because Montblanc is the brand that everybody knows is the expensive brands, until I wrote with one. And they're nice. I mean, they write amazingly well. Am I going to spend Montblanc money to get a pen that writes that well? No. Can I get other pens that write that good for cheaper? Yes. But that's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's like, you can get a race car that goes faster than a Ferrari, but is that the reason you bought the Ferrari?
Yeah.
Just to go fast? No, you bought it for all the other reasons you wanted a Ferrari, because they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I can go buy a discount wool fire blanket and wrap myself in it, and it'll be as warm as any leather coat. Well, did I buy the leather coat just to stay warm? Well, no. I bought it for about a million other reasons as to why I bought that leather coat, you know? It's all the same thing.
I wanted to hate the Mont Blanc, but I did not hate it.
No, there was one that I saw at the store when we went to the Mont Blanc store and we were window shopping. They had a pen where the entire body of the pen was hand-hammered out of a tube of silver. So it was, you know, a craftsman sat there with a small hammer and beat the pen into shape. So it was all rough, and it was it had hundreds of these little individual facets of like all the smooth spots of when he had smashed it with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside it, they had put the guts of a pen. It was heavy enough to kill an intruder in your office. I mean, this thing is a weapon.
Yeah.
And it felt so cool in my hand, and it was really, really nice. And it was pure silver. Like the whole body of the pen was just a giant nub of silver.
Yeah.
It was also $1,100. I mean, that's like that's a new computer. I mean, that's two PS5s.
Yeah.
I'd rather do the two PS5s. Thank you very much. But my God, was it a cool pen to hold?
Yeah. Yeah.
So while we're talking about pens, there's a huge pen community out there. You know, they call it infecting people with the fountain pen virus.
Yes. Penabling
people. Yes, exactly. So out of all the pens that are out there that are being discussed that people talk about, what do you think, let's start positive. What do you think is a sleeper pen that people are sleeping on that maybe not enough people know about? If you could like hype a product, what pen out there do you think you want people to know about?
I got a few of them. So I'm going to start with one that doesn't get a lot of love, and it's because of the body. And that is, so I like writing fancy. I do more than just regular note taking. Sometimes I do calligraphy. And there is a line of calligraphy pens that Pilot puts out called the Pilot Parallels. And the Pilot Parallels are as close as you can get to a dip pen that I've ever seen. And it's much better than the markers. The markers, the calligraphy markers, no. Those are not very good.
And they have this, the Parallel has this long, thin body,
yeah,
about twice as long as a normal pen. It looks to me like those old-timey cigarette holders that you you see in the movies. Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's because it's supposed to remind you of a quill. Because for some reason, once a pen is a calligraphy pen, it then no longer looks like a regular pen.
I think that has to do with balance as well. Maybe the length helps balance the pen to make it easier to do those artistic swirls.
I don't know.
I'm guessing.
But the Lamy calligraphy pen is the joy, and it's the same body shape.
Hmm.
It's a very long. It's not something you could keep in your pocket.
No.
So it kind of bothers me. And it's just a cheap plastic. It's not even like a turned plastic. It's just a cheap plastic. But it's got a lovely feed, a very consistent feed, which is what you need because you need lots of ink when you're doing calligraphy. And it the only cartridge converter you can get for it is that Con 40, which is so small. And you don't need to know that, but Pilot has small converters. They used to have a big long one, but I don't know why I can't get the big long one in this because the body is so long. So there should be something that I could put in there. It is probably one of my favorites because I do all of our certificates with this.
Mm-hmm. For the martial arts that we do.
I do all the certificates with this, and it just comes out so good and better than when I use a dip pen. Because the ink is consistent and I have less flooding or inconsistent ink as I'm going through. So this is definitely one of my sleepers. I think that the Pilot Parallel And they're super cheap, by the way. I've tried modifying them, putting them in other bodies and things like that. And I don't know. At some point, I'll find a solution. But so far, I've never gotten it just right. But yeah, that's definitely a sleeper. And I am going to say that another sleeper are some non-Japanese pens. So there's one that I absolutely love, and they're really getting into their own niche right now, but it's called Pen BBS, and I have some very beautiful pens from Pen BBS, and they're wonderful. They were created by people that were on a bulletin board for fountain pens, and they basically said, these are the things I want out of a fountain pen, and two of the members decided to start making them.
Mm-hmm. And they're gorgeous.
And they're absolutely gorgeous. They're definitely limited run, small batches, things like that.
Yeah, everything they do is small batch, limited run. They come in all kinds of funky colors and all kinds of funky materials.
And yet, they write consistently. As soon as you get it, it writes beautifully. Mm-hmm. There's not much that you have to do to make it work.
They're not that expensive.
They're not super expensive. No, it's more about the limited nature and being able to buy from China. There's two places you can buy it. One is a Chinese storefront, internet storefront, and the other is through Etsy. And unless you have the ability to bank through this international site, that one's just not going to work for you. You might not get all the things that you want, but I just wait for them to come on Etsy, and it works really well. They're wonderful. If you ever have problems, they're great with returns and, you know, fixing things for you. But that is definitely a sleeper. And I think the other sleeper, and some people have a bad attitude about this company, but I'm going to say Jinghao. Jinghao makes super cheap pens with the same insides as really expensive pens. Sorry. There's a conglomerate called Yafa that owns multiple pen brands, and all of the pens are made using the same materials as these Jinghao pens. And they write so well. And I think probably one of my favorites is that one X159, especially the new one in the plastic body instead of the metal body. It was always in a metal body, but okay, it looks like a Mont Blanc. I am going to say, like, everybody knows, it is what it looks like, but it's a bigger pen, and now it has a giant nib, and it just is such a great writing experience. And
did you ever write with that pen that my boss had, that big giant orange thing? He had this huge orange pen.
Yeah, that's this one.
Yeah.
He had this one in orange.
Yeah.
I have it, I had it in black, and I have it in dark blue, and you have it in black now.
Yep.
I really would like to get the green one. I could never get my hands on the green one. But yeah, I mean, these, and they're cheap. They're stupid cheap, but they write really well. And I've gifted a Jinghao to many people. And
that's the thing, is that they're made in the same fact. They're made out of the production overruns from these other companies.
Yeah.
So this other company, you know, they're in the factory, they make a production run of a couple hundred thousand pens, then the pieces that they have left over,
They build different things. They're not making the same exact pen. This is not the company that makes Mont Blanc, but, you know, they put their own clips on, they put their own stuff on it. Yep. It works very well. I like it a lot.
And they look good. They write okay. And it's a good product, and they're not bad.
So my two people are sleeping on it are cheap brands.
Yeah. I got to say, there's all kinds of brands that... there's all kinds of brands out there from all over the world. Now, the question that I think some people are going to ask is, what do you know of, so you want to talk about, you know, cheap brands. What about, I'll derail slightly, what about brands from North America? Do you have any good pens, any good recommendations for a made in America or a made in Canada?
Sure I do. Do you have one?
I mean, they're not the best. I own one. I like it. What about Conklin?
Yes and no. So there's a couple of things. I have not used the new Conklin nibs. So they've made their nibs better. Their nibs were inconsistent before, but the nibs are much better.
I'm trying to give a recommendation to the people here that want to spend their money in North America.
Yeah, so, I do like the Conklin pens.
What's another good one? Parker.
Parker. Yeah, Parker's a good one.
Parker is an old brand. They made pens back in the day, like at the start of the pen, like they were making stuff in the 1920s, if not earlier.
Yeah. Like they were one of the first brands. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And their pens are cool. And what's even better than that is that you can find their vintage pen at almost every antique store. You can find Parker pens for pretty cheap, and you're going to get a really quality product with some vintage cachet to it. A Parker pen is very easy to notice because the little clip that holds it in your pocket is going to be shaped like an arrow from a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
So if you see that arrow clip, that's a Parker, and they're pretty cool pens.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they're 100% made in North America anymore. That's the other thing. Like, Conklin was an all-American company, but they get their parts from overseas.
Yeah, they get a bunch of their stuff
from assemble. Yeah. What Edison is another one.
Mm-hmm.
I've never written one with an Edison, but they are gorgeous mm-hmm. pens. Absolutely gorgeous. And I drool over Edison pens.
They're pricey?
Yeah, yeah. They're all made with really limited stock resins hand turned and everything. So these are one of those ones where you're going to spend like $300 to $500 for a steel nib.
Yeah.
But they're gorgeous. There's a whole bunch of them. There's a lot of fountain pen brands that I really like that use wood.
Mm-hmm.
And the wooden pens are really nice. Now, I've seen their ink. The only fountain pens I've seen of theirs have been very skinny, and I don't like a skinny fountain pen. But Ferris Wheel,
mm-hmm.
they're an all-Canadian company.
Okay, cool.
So they're really very interesting. And their ink bottles are just gorgeous. There's a lot of those. But, you know, it's really, it's kind of hard to say who makes where, you know, like I think Waterman is still made in, the US, but again, they might get parts from other places. So some people can be very,
yeah, because
picky.
most of the nibs now are made by a couple of major companies, and like most of the nibs are either coming from Europe or China.
Yeah.
And then companies will just kind of,
and the feeds, a lot of them are getting their feeds from China.
Right.
Cross, I think, is still made in America.
Ooh, cross pens.
Cross pens are really nice. And are a ballpoint or a rollerball fan, those cross pens are really big. I know Franklin Kristoff is a big name as well. I think they're a little more pricey, but I don't remember because I've never actually, I like trying pens, you know, but they're not really ones. So Monteverde is the same company as Conklin, so you might as well just put them in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
But they tend to be a little more expensive.
Monteverde, that's Green Mountain to you.
Yes. They make great inks. Oh, Noodlers. There is Noodlers, but I don't recommend buying from Noodlers.
I had a Noodlers pen and it never wrote right. It leaked a lot. I like the Noodlers ink.
My problem is I don't like the owner and what he's doing with the money. So I'll continue to use the ink that I own, I'm not giving him any more money.
No, I think I'm with you there. We have a difference with the owner, and we choose not to give him any more of our cash, and that's fine.
Apparently, Retro 51 is an American company.
Yeah, but they're different. Like they're not manufacturing like it. What makes the Retro 51 pens cool is like they got all these like wrappings.
Yeah,
but it's like a plastic wrap that they heat shrink over the body of the pen. I mean, they
all are pretty much the same pen with like a different heatsink, you know?
Yeah. And not my thing.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
Not my favorite.
So the pen that I think people are sleeping on,
mm-hmm.
I got to talk about one of my favorite pen companies, called Pilot.
Mm.
They're from Japan. I think they're owned by, I think Pilot's owned by Epson. I think they're in I think they're in that same arc, or they're in a big arc.
And you may have heard Namiki
I'm going to get to
Pilot
that.
And Namiki were different companies, and then they merged.
Right.
And then now they're owned by,
Right. I may be wrong about the Epson thing.
Yeah.
Seiko's owned by Epson. That's the Seiko watches is owned by Epson. Okay. So here's the thing is that Pilot makes the entire gamut of pens, right?
Mm-hmm.
They make the cheapest fountain pen on the planet, the Varsity, which is amazing. And then they've got this other company, Namiki. Namiki is like what Lexus is to Toyota. They're like the flagship. They're the, what do you call it? The Halo brand.
Mm-hmm.
They make $9,000 pens. Namiki pens are handmade, hand lacquered, hand inlaid with mother of pearl. We're talking about insane literally works of art.
Yeah.
So, and then Pilot has their own very high-end pens that mirror what they can make at Namiki.
Yeah.
So you've got these super-duper cool, super expensive pens at the high end. You've got super cool, super awesome pens at the low end. Mm. But everybody sleeps on the stuff in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody knows about the Varsity, and everybody knows about the $300 and $400, what's it, the Pilot Falcon?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Emperor, the Namiki Emperor, and like those $1,000 pens. But nobody ever talks about like the $50 to $100 Prera.
Yeah.
Which is one of my absolute favorite pens.
Yeah.
So, you know, work your way up, right? You can go from the Varsity to the Metro, to the Metropolitan, and then from mm-hmm. the Metropolitan to the Prera, and you're finding some pretty cool pens that write amazingly well. They're not a lot of money. They're going to last you forever. They're going to write like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get a better pen out of your Prera than you would get from some other companies for 3 and 4 times the price. And you're going to get something cool.
Yeah. I will say that, so by the way, Pilot is its own company.
Oh, okay.
I was wrong. Publicly traded.
Oh, cool.
It was really cool. And many people already know Pilot because you've probably written with their ballpoints or their gel pens mm-hmm. because they are the ones that came out with the gel pens.
Mm.
I think they were the first ones to invent them. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong.
Pilot gel pens are great.
They were one of my first gel pens. So that's where I started with them. They also make ink and other writing implements, highlighters, markers, mechanical pencils, all of that.
While we're talking about writing implements, another company that mm-hmm. I got to give a huge shout out to is a German company called Staedtler.
Yes.
Especially if you write or draft professionally, you've probably used their mechanical pencils mm-hmm. or their graphites. I love Staedtler products.
I also
looking
think,
for a sponsorship, guys.
I also think that the Schaefer is one that a lot of people have seen because Schaefer did calligraphy fountain pens for a long time that you could find in Staples. By the way, apparently in 1995 and 96, Pilot raced a Ferrari F40 LM at the Le Mans.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
A Pilot branded Ferrari?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. But it was pretty cool. But anyway, it went at the 4 hours and finished 12th.
Nice. Yeah. So I got another question
all
for
right,
you.
So yeah, go ahead.
What pen are you tired of hearing about?
Visconti.
What's overhyped? Visconti?
I mean, Mont Blanc is in the way that everybody, if you don't know anything about watches, everybody only knows Rolex. If
right.
you don't know anything about pens, people only know about
Mont Blanc.
If you don't know anything about podcasting, everybody thinks of Joe Rogan or,
right.
you know, the one of the NPR shows or something like that. And it's like,
yeah,
no,
This American Life. Or,
yeah, there's so much more out there.
Right.
And so I'm not mad at Visconti completely. I am a little, I'm not buying one as pretty as the Rembrandt and the Van Goghs are. Their bodies are absolutely gorgeous. The problem I have, and this comes from many people telling me, and me trying them, is when they come out of the box, they need to be fit to your hand.
Yeah, the nibs need to be specially ground to the yeah. angle at which you hold your pen. Other pens tend to be a little more universal, but for some reason, those gosh darn Viscontis,
yeah.
you and the person that does this for you, people who are good at hand grinding nibs, they get a really cool name for their
yes.
profession, don't they?
They're nibmeisters.
Nibmeisters. So yeah. you have to find, so good luck finding one, first
yeah.
off. You have to find a nib. The only time I've ever seen a nibmeister was at the pen show.
And we couldn't get into him because he was booked for 2 days ahead.
Yeah. There was a line waiting around yeah. the building of people who were waiting to get their yeah. pens ground by this nibmeister.
But you had to reserve him, and he was all fully booked.
And he was charging like $90 a mm-hmm. pen. Like, that guy walked out of there with a mortgage payment. Easy.
Well, I mean, how often do you get to nibmeister, you know? I mean, I'm sure it's a...
But yeah.
yeah,
so the idea of buying, I agree with you, the idea of buying a $1,000 Visconti and then having to send it to somebody for $100 to get them to grind it, to get it to fit my hand, yeah, no thank you.
No thank you, no thank you. Like, I mean, if you're going to make me a bespoke pen, sure, but I would hope that that's part of the service, not I bought these really expensive materials already assembled and now it's going to be ground. Maybe some people think I'm a little spoiled or whatever you want to call it, or I just don't understand, and that's fine. But I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to buy Pilot, who I don't have to get a grind. I will continue to buy Platinum or Pen BBS or Lamy because I don't need to. Or, you know, not even worrying about gold, Twisby. I mean, I have never had a Twisby nib not right for me. They all write. I did not like the extra fine. I'll tell you, it's a little too fine for me, but I understood it. Yeah, so I'm tired of hearing that about that. And I'm not upset with the pen company. I think they are gorgeous. I would love to have one, but I think people get really excited over the Pelican M series, and there's so much money, and many of them are just steel nibs.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand. I'm buying a resin pen with a steel nib. It cannot write that good, but I've never held one in my hand, so I can't be really upset with it. But yeah, Visconti is probably the one that bothers me the most, especially because those Rembrandts and those Van Goghs are just so beautiful.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they are super pretty. The one that I want to talk about as overhyped is back to, you already started to mention it, but is Mont Blanc. Yeah. Is that there are other pen companies out there that make really, really cool products. Not that Mont Blanc makes a bad one. I've written with one. They're amazing. They write very, very well. But the amount of enjoyment that I got out of it was not worth the price tag.
Yeah.
I can get more enjoyment, I think, out of a pen that's just as good at a lower price point, and that'll make me happier. You don't need, I hope this is the point that I get across in this podcast, and I hope you help me. And I hope that, I don't know what point you're trying to get across, but for me, it's that I hope I get the point across that you don't have to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
To have fun in a hobby and to have fun in this hobby. You can spend $2 and get a Vanishing Point and get a really fun pen.
Yeah.
And I really like it. Mont Blanc, it's like the Rolex, right? There's other really nice watches out there that are worth a lot less money than a Rolex.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cars out there that are really, really cool and fun and awesome to drive that aren't Ferraris. There's a lot of pens out there that aren't Mont Blanc either.
Yep.
I think they're overhyped. They're a good quality product. I don't think I'll ever buy one. I say this now. Okay. One more question for you.
Yeah, sure.
What pen out there are you lusting for? What are you looking at that you maybe have saved to your favorites, and you go back to the website and you look at it every now and then and like go, soon, my dear. You know, is there something out there that you're looking at that
Other than the Vanishing Point Rodden series?
Oh, the one
with
that's
the lines.
The one that I want to talk about? The one that's on my screen right now.
Yeah, other than that one, that's one of them. The Omas 360.
Yeah, so the body of the pen is shaped like a triangle and it twists.
Yeah.
And it's a really funky looking,
and it's made
big,
of ebonite, and it's made by a company that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. And so it's a collector's item. I held it in my hand. It was the most enjoyable writing experience. And I just couldn't afford it at the time. I could afford it now, I think.
They're for sale on Etsy.
How much?
Between $1,000 and $1,200.
It's not too bad. The inflation is not too bad. It's a definite. It's still out of my reach. I'm not spending that much for a pen, but it was a really nice pen, and I did enjoy that. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. There's the Pilot Falcon that looks interesting and the E95. But I'm actually at a point, and this is strange enough to say, I'm at a point where I don't really need or want new fountain pens.
No, I'm at that point too. I've got pretty much everything I need in my collection. I've got a couple more that I'm sort of like looking at,
but I'm feeling really good with my collection. Now, I will say that I'm very tempted by Lamy's Dark Lilac and Petrol All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have them in the Safari. And that's the challenging thing. And this is where you can get caught into it. The gotta catch them all with all of the special releases.
Yeah.
Because many pen companies will have something special each year, or they're only going to do a color for a limited time. Twisby does that. And we didn't even talk about Twisby because I don't think anyone's sleeping on Twisby. But at the same time, they're not overhyped either. And Twisby is just a fantastic pen company. I've never found a pen of theirs that I did not like. I've liked every single thing that I've ever used from them. And I'm so mad that I let you get the Draco. Because you don't even write with it.
I love my Draco.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pens inked currently that I use on an almost regular basis because for my job, depending on the different bookings I have, I use different colors so I can separate things out. And when I'm writing, I use different colors and it just makes things concrete in my head. And when I say different colors, my inks are many colors of the rainbow. So I do not have a rule for my job that I can only write in blue because nobody sees what I write but me. I also have gotten to the point where like I'm mixing inks because I like having a document ink. So if I spill my drink on my papers, I don't lose all my notes. And so now I ink mix as well. And I'm really don't need to buy new ink other than my document inks. I'm kind of in a weird place. It's weird. I was doing a lot of buying and now I'm very happy with what I have. What are you looking at?
Everything?
Yes. Well, grail-wise.
There's a type of Japanese art called Raden.
Yes.
Which is taking a surface, normally wood, carving a small notch in it, and then filling that notch with mother of pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make intricate designs and beautiful iridescent art by putting in like a mosaic of these mm-hmm. little pieces of mother of pearl into a body. And then that gets covered with hand rubbed coats of a traditional Japanese lacquer called urushi.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets polished. So you make a beautiful, shiny, glossy, hand lacquered coat over this beautiful mother of pearl mosaic. All made by hand. It takes months to make these. Normally, these will be like pieces of art. Like you'll get like a little picture, or you'll mm-hmm. get like a Raden jewelry box, or you know, like a little curio. But here we're talking about doing this on the body of a fountain pen. And Pilot makes a Raden vanishing point. It's called.
Yeah.
So it's a clicky, retractable fountain pen with this mother of pearl inlay in vertical stripes down the body of the pen. It's called the Raden stripe. It's a black pen with like the iridescent mother of pearl on it.
Mm-hmm.
It is stupidly attractive. It is such a cool pen. They make one with a little flex in it called the Galaxy. That's also really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they just launched one where the lines are farther apart and wavy.
Oh.
And it looks like the reflection from a water surface.
Oh, that sounds nice.
So, yeah, they make insanely cool pens. One that I have been sort of looking at as my grail for a long, long time is by another Japanese company called Sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a famous pen called the 1911. It's one of their oldest pens. They make it in a bunch of different sizes. They make a small, medium, large.
Mm-hmm.
And they make one called the King of Pen.
I was waiting for you to talk about that one.
The 1911 King of Pen.
Yep.
And it is dumb. It looks like those big red number 5 safety pencils that you had in kindergarten, except now you're a fully grown adult and you hold this thing in your fist just like you would hold that red number 5 pencil when you were twee and in kindergarten. It is ridiculous. Ridiculous. With a number 9 nib on it, it is a dumb looking pen. I got to hold one and write with one at a pen show. I looked at it in the case. I go, that is stupid. The guy opens the case and puts it in my hand. He goes, just write with it. And I wrote with it. I'm like, oh, wow, this thing's fun. It's yeah. cool.
Now I love it.
And I love that pen. It is stupid. It is way too expensive. It is way too big. But in everyone's life as an adult, you have those big boy or big girl moments where you have to put your pants on, do some adulting, and you have to sign a big piece of paper. Maybe it's a mortgage contract. Maybe it's a big sales deal at work. Maybe it's, you know, an attestation or, you know, some type, or maybe it's the signature on the contract for that new book you just sold, you know, whatever. Everybody's got those big pieces of paper that you have to sign your name to it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a big grown-up, big boy pen to sign those big boy papers with. And that's how I look at it. It's like, that would be so fun to, hold on, I need my special pen. Open the little box that it's in, take it out, the choir of angels starts singing.
Yeah.
Take it out, write it with your, that is a huge pen. Yes, it is. It's my contract pen, you know? I think
now,
that would be fun.
Do you remember what pen you brought when we signed our mortgage payments? Our mortgage papers, rather, when we bought the house?
Was it my Vanishing Point?
I don't remember what you brought.
What did you brought your 1336.
Yeah, yeah. 1376.
1376, yeah.
Or 3776. Yeah, that.
Yeah, 3776. Yeah. No, yeah, you brought your best pen.
Yeah.
I forget. I think I brought my Vanishing Point. And I think I brought my Vanishing Point as well when we bought the car.
Maybe. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I remember because it spat and there's little blue dots on the contract.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens.
There's another fantastic company. Very quickly that I'll mention called Twisby, TWSBI.
Yes.
When you pick up something and it says made in Taiwan, well, some of the factories that they go to, you know, when they're done making products for other people, they make products for themselves. And this was a factory that was making pens for other people. And they figured, well, why can't we just make it ourselves? And Twisby is an acronym in Chinese. It comes up to mean something about good luck.
Yeah, it's like a proverb, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they started making mechanical pencils, and then they moved on to making pens of their own. And their pens are amazing, and they're cheap, and they're cool, and they're fun, and they come in a bunch of different colors, and they write really, really well. And they're a success story, and I really, really like their products. I own one of almost everything they have, but I'm on their website right now, Nutty, and you know you said you liked my Draco in red? Did you know they make one in blue?
I don't remember.
So think of the Draco in blue. So it's the Twisby Kai.
Oh.
I think you'll like it.
Well, I had always wanted them to do one in green.
I would love for them to do one in green. You'll buy.
I don't understand what. Well, no, I only need one. But like, why make a Draco? Like, why make something called Draco and not make it in green?
Yeah,
I just don't understand. Yeah, I'm seeing the Kai.
Isn't it cool?
Nice. It's nice.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, and it's got that nice little window. It's very pretty. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. We talked about the pens that we want. We talked about things that are overhyped. We talked about things that we find cool. We talked about a lot of brands. Man, you're going to have a heck of a time making show notes for this just to put links.
Oh, yeah. To all these things. I'm just going to link to Goulet pens. So there's a couple of places that you can buy, fountain pens from. So we'll give a couple of places.
Yep.
So
you do the one in America. I'll do the one in Canada.
Oh, I was going to do a couple rundowns. I was going to say, if you're looking for the cheap stuff, Staples and Amazon has Varsities and Preppies and things like that. And bookstores will often have them. And when you go to art stores, you'll often find them.
Go to your local paper supply or your local writing supply company.
We
or your
didn't
local
even talk
art
about
store.
Paper yet, but whatever. Yeah, that's a whole other ball game. But in the United States, there's a really great retailer called Goulet Pens. At Goulet Pens, you know?
Yeah, Goulet.
Yeah, and they were out of Virginia, and they buy from other people, and then they sell. They're just like any other distributor. But they are pretty much the go-to for if you want to know what ink looks like, because they do swatches for everything. And every pen that they get, they swatch on exactly the same paper using exactly the same ink as every pen they have ever swatched. So... It's really consistent, and there's a lot of data. And when you're looking at a pen, it's going to tell you what the barrel size is. It's going to tell you the ink. It's going to tell you all of the details, everything you need to know.
And most of the ink that you buy from them, you can buy in like little $1 samplers.
You can do little samples and decide what you want.
Try a fill in your pen, see if you like the ink before you dive in and buy a whole bottle. Another cool thing is that they have amazing customer service.
Yes.
And it's so amazing. At one point, we bought a pen. We had a problem with it.
We bought two pens and had problems with it.
And then the owner himself called you.
Yes.
And you were on the phone with Brian Goulet himself.
Yeah, well, and I think that was the end of, like, that was during COVID. So I think that was why. But,
it was so cool.
Yeah. And I was saying I wanted to, you know, I had my mom had gotten you a pen and she ordered it with a stub and I needed a different nib and they just threw it in the box when they sent me the return. So that was really good. And they were great. They were absolutely great about it. There's another one. There's Gold Spot pens in the United States. So sometimes if they don't have it at Goulet, I'll go to Gold Spot or Jet Pens. The one thing that's cool about those is they also sell rollerballs. Mm-hmm. So my mom will also often come to me and say, I need a pen gift. I'm looking for not a fountain pen. And we go there. So we, one that we did not long ago is, somebody was going to be, doing volunteer work in Africa and spending the next 5 years in Africa. She wanted, a pen that she could do refills with, a pen that could work in the sand, all sorts of things, and got a Kaweco.
Kaweco?
Yes.
Yes.
And the brass one.
A solid brass with solid brass chunk with a nib on it.
Yeah.
That is an awesome outdoor pen.
But it's not a fountain pen. So we got it from, I think, Gold Spot.
Nice.
And it was really great and they loved it. But yeah, so if you're looking for something a little bit nicer, that's where I go. Now, if you're in Europe, there is, I think it's Pen Chalet and a couple other. If you're in Europe, you have no problem getting fountain pens. I'm just going to tell you that right now. If you're in Europe, you have no problem. If you're in Asia, you have no problem. It's just here in North America we struggle with, and I probably South America as well. So do you want to talk about one of our favorite Canadian retailers?
Yep, absolutely. If you're in Canada and you're looking for a good place to buy a fountain pen, there is no better place than a store out of Toronto called Wonder Pens.
They have an actual store.
They have an actual store. We've been there a couple times. Super cool place, but they have a wicked online storefront. You can get anything you're looking for there. The staff was super knowledgeable. They sell everything from the cheap stuff to the stupid expensive stuff. They sell brands that you can't get at some of the American stores. So there was a couple times where we couldn't get products through Goulet or somebody else, and then we ended up going to Wonder Pens to get them. They're a great Canadian alternative.
And we don't have to pay duty.
And we don't have to pay duty to import anything. So, yeah, duty. So, absolutely, will recommend Wonder Pens.
They're really great. And what I liked about going to their actual physical store is, they're like, you want me to ink it up? You want to take it for a ride?
Mm-hmm.
And every time, no problem. And I thought that was really cool. There's a couple other, pen retailers in Canada that are really good. One of them, a newer one, Fiden Pens, I've been getting a lot of stuff from. They have a smaller selection, but again, it's one of those things. Wonder Pens didn't have it. So Fiden Pens hooked me up, you know, what is it? It's Cult of Pens, I think, is also in Canada. I can't remember if that's Canada or UK, but, there's a lot of different places that you can go. Wonder Pens was awesome. And when I got you a pen for your promotion and I needed it to get here real fast, I had put in the notes, I was like, he is getting a promotion and I need it to be for the military parade when he gets his promotion. So can we put a rush on this? And, they wrote you a very nice note.
Mm-hmm.
It was really lovely.
What else did I want to say? I forgot. I'm sorry. There's all kinds of places that you can go for this stuff. Online. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for, if you're not sure what to buy and you're not sure and you want to get some reviews or some writing sample videos of people writing with these pens, one that I really like, or I used to like his content, he's got reviews on hundreds of pens now. He found a guy called Pen Boy Roy.
Oh, Pen Boy Roy.
He does reviews in, a really sort of a, like a, he's really fun, but he's got like a really sort of an in your face kind of, he's very flamboyant with his style. He's a big jujitsu dude. You know, he looks like a dude, bro, but he writes with fountain pens and he will lead you through a pen. And then he's got this format that he goes through where he talks about the good, the bad, the ugly. And by ugly, he means the price. So he will.
Well, no, and it'll sometimes be the what should not be.
Yeah, the ugly. What should not be.
Yeah, but is.
And then, but he'll go through these pens and his whole mission is to infect you with the fountain pen virus. And his reviews are very, very fun. But as he's talking and explaining to you about the pen, the video that you're watching on YouTube is him writing with it.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you what ink he's using, what paper he's using. and you can see what it looks like when it writes. And it gives you a pretty, and he reviews everything from $2 disposables all the way up to $1,000 pieces of art and everything in between. And he's, I don't think he's biased towards any brand. He doesn't seem to be biased towards any price point. He likes a lot of stuff.
He's
that's worth
liking.
He's
friends with everybody. And actually, he was able to get convince certain retailers to start throwing in cartridge converters so that you could use your own ink instead of using their
cartridges.
Yeah, the other cartridges. He started getting people to change the way that they were selling, and I thought that was really cool because he was like, you know what, for a pen like this, like why do I have to spend $5 to get this thing? Like, just throw it in. It doesn't make any sense. And so he changed the way people were selling, and I thought that was really cool.
Hey, if you don't like fountain pens and you made it all the way through this episode, congratulations to you.
Congratulations.
You
yeah.
Are either a hardcore Nutty Bites fan or you fell asleep on the podcast. So if that's what happened, wake up. Hi, and welcome back. We're done talking about pens now.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. I like these things, but if you are not interested in fountain pens, but you really like your gel pen or your rollerball or your ballpoint, or there's just this one pen I really like, let us know, because I love that. I have a coworker. She has every color of the gel pens. Mm-hmm. I have other coworkers who are like, I have to use this. I know we have a friend that, he's a writer and he can only write in pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And I have another writer friend that can only write in a certain color ink, you know, mm-hmm. like we all have our own writing preferences. So what is your favorite writing utensil?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
Please let us know.
Thanks for listening to us just geek out, but we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Before we go, we want to thank our patrons, without whom we wouldn't have two episodes a month. And we want to thank you so much for backing us. So
thanks for holding the gun to our head, guys.
Thank you to our top patron, Jax, and our other big daddies, Jason and Rich the TT.
Thanks, daddies.
Thank you to our patrons of the arts, Hugh, Mark Cabot, the Encaffeinated One, and Susanna. And thank you to all of our other patrons, our lifeblood of this campaign, keeping us going. Thank you to Shane, Selgenor, Andy, Cliff, Grig, Harold, Ian, Justine, Ken, Kinsey, Melissa, Mike, PCAT, Radical Geek, Will, and Zachman. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.